We love the Scuttlebucks podcast at joebucksfan.com. Thank you for tuning in. Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang are fantastic. Subscribe at Apple Podcasts and other platforms. It's going to be here every Thursday, maybe some Wednesdays mixed in during the season. And it's all presented by Bill Curry Ford. Get leftover 2020s up to 50% off original MSRP right now. Go to BillCurryFord.com and start shopping. Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford.
Broadcasting from the ESPN Tallahassee studios in Florida's capital city and in partnership with the JoeBucksFan.com podcasting network, this is the Scuttlebucks on 97.9 ESPN Radio. The Scuttlebucks with Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's hometown Ford dealer for nearly 60 years and home of the nationwide lifetime warranty for new and pre-owned vehicles. BillCurryFord.com. Here's ESPN and Tallahassee's Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang.
Fresh off a loss, looking to get in the win column against Carolina. The Bucks are 0-1 in the Brady era, and we're here to talk about it, what we just saw, and take a sneak peek, obviously, as to what is still to take place against the Carolina Panthers. I'm Jeff, that's Tom. You are you, and I appreciate you listening to the program. Not panicked after week one. There were some things that were really predictable about this football game. I thought that, I guess we can start with, I know most people are going to start with Brady, but I'm going to start instead offensively with Donovan Smith, who, you know, Tom and I have been pretty hard on, Tom especially, but he wasn't any good, and that's a problem. Obviously, he's got to play better. You can't have a rookie in Wirfs with a much harder assignment, I might add, go out and play exceptionally well in his first ever National Football League contest and have your veteran tackle act as a turnstile. That was problematic.
Yeah, the scout on Wirfs is he's a right tackle and a right tackle only. That might be the scout, but if we get a couple more weeks of this out of 76 at left, you might want to experiment with Wirfs flexing over to the blind side because it's a tougher assignment for Donovan Smith this year, given that his quarterback, while pocket mobile, is not mobile.
Yeah, is not mobile, sense. And yeah, Jameis isn't there to bail out Donovan Smith when he misses another block. So, you know, that's what you have. It's also the problem when you become one-dimensional like you did a year ago where the whole world knows that, in that case, knew that Jameis was going to have to throw the ball 50 times a game. You know, it gets a lot easier to kind of predict what's coming, and that leads to turnovers. Oh, what do you know? Turnovers in this football game because the world knew what was coming. You know, obviously, Brady makes that throw for the pick six. It's an awful throw. They'd have killed Jameis for it, so you can't ignore it when he does it.
Just burn it out of the playbook, will you?
Yeah, I hate it, especially where he was in the shotgun on the other hash. He didn't have the arm for that.
It's an option off of a screen, apparently, Bruce. But you know what? Let's just take that option away because apparently it looks good to whoever the quarterback is, Jameis, Hall of Famer, and anybody in between.
Yeah, no, I agree. We'll see. I mean, I'm not going to overreact to a loss here. I will say another predictable aspect because we did it on the show last week, and you know it's my thing, but I've been worried about Evans for some time now. I know he's not going to get open against the Saints and Lattimore. He doesn't. He gets owned. I mean, that must be a funny conversation to hear those two because I can only imagine what Lattimore says when he lines up across from Evans at the start of a football game these days.
Right, a meaningless touchdown, and then you have – that's if you're looking for some kind of action
catch,
on a tease,
by the way.
Right,
yeah.
With your wagers.
Yeah.
And then you have the PI down the field, but that's not on Lattimore. That was on Williams. Mm-hmm. That's why Brady circled that matchup. He said, oh, 23's giving him a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Just chuck it up that way.
Yeah. I agree. Listen, that's behind us because, again, for whatever reason, that matchup does not fall in Evans' favor. I understand he had a sore hamstring, so I really expected next to nothing from him, and I got next to nothing from him. The real problem here as we proceed is the fact that your best receiver in Godwin is dealing with a concussion. And later on, we're going to have Lee DeKemper on, joebucksfan.com, and I'll ask him about that straight out the box because as we're recording this today, it's a Thursday, there have been a couple of different whispers suggesting that there's a possibility he misses not just this game, but maybe the next one too. If that's true, that ain't good. That's your guy right there. And we're talking about maybe Evans being on the other side of his apex and Godwin emerging as a star. Now, if he's out for any period of time at all, say 2 weeks, again, if, big if, he may not even miss this game. I got you. But if he is, I don't care how good we think Scotty Miller is going to be. You got real problems.
Yeah, you'd line up Justin Watson out there and then hope that you can make some havoc over the middle of the field with a combination of Scotty and the tight ends. But the problem, I think, here, and this is the fundamental question, I think if you're looking optimistically at this season, you're saying, listen, New Orleans defense is really good and
really
ready-made.
Yeah.
And we're trying to sort some stuff out while they're really good and ready-made. So that if you're an optimist, that's what you're saying. If you're a pessimist, you're saying, what's our philosophy on offense? What's our bread and butter? Because it looks like we were trying to really establish the run last week. And I thought with all these weapons on the perimeter, we would be passing so that we would open up the run.
Passing to
not
run.
Committing to the run, yeah, and then work off of play action and passing that way.
Well, you ask a question about our identity, and I know you're referencing the offense because it seems like we don't have one currently, but I would tell you this. There's no doubt the identity of the franchise, of the team, is a defense emerging more and more every time we gather to speak on the Bucks. This is a defense that can be dominant this year. This could be one of the three best defenses in the league. I don't think that's overstating it. We'll see. They absolutely shut down the Saints' traditional offense right now. The Saints are becoming much more of a dink-and-dunk team. Their quarterback, Hall of Famer as he is, just doesn't have the arm strength anymore. So they always have to, you know, do gimmicky stuff when they try to get the ball down the field, like put Taysom Hill back there. But when they're operating their offense, everything is within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage. I feel like they've become easier to defend, not just for the Bucs, but really for anybody who's paying attention to Drew Brees' arm strength, which is lacking considerably. But the run game is something the Saints usually have success with. Kamara obviously is a special talent, but he got totally shut down. 2.4 yards per carry for the Saints in this game. That is exceptional. Obviously, running in total, they amassed less than 90 yards. So the Bucs did what they were supposed to do in that matchup.
Yeah, the thing I'd look for in the next couple of games is the throws down the field. Do we defend those well? Because we know that Drew doesn't have it in him. He made one throw. Jamel Dean falls asleep on a wheel route or whatever it was.
Any quarterback in that league, including every backup, can make that throw. Yes.
Right. But if you've got an offense and maybe Bridgewater tests us down the field because Carolina does have some burner receivers on the outside, do you defend that well? Because if the answer is yes, then you're right. This defense is going to be really good, really fast. And I have to say, and I think a lot of Bucs fans felt this way, in the first 4 or 5 minutes of this game this past Sunday, even before we scored and go down the field, I'm just talking real-time minutes, you see those uniforms back.
Oh, looking good.
And you see that defense triggering downhill, playing with speed and
tackling,
physicality.
Tackling.
Buddy, it felt like 0-2 again, just for
it
a
did.
Moment.
Yeah, I texted you. I couldn't have been more excited. I actually thought we were in store for a treat. You know, now, they gave the Saints too many opportunities because, obviously, turnovers. You have the stupid play with the kickoff, which, good Lord, we looked like, junior football. It was Pee Wee football.
That's correct.
It was embarrassing. But you had that, right? Then you had the pick six. So 10 of those points are not on the defense in any way. I thought Winfield was, by the way, there you go. There's another. He's a player.
Yeah, between him and Whitehead, we will eat your soul.
Yeah, no, we got some guys now. And, you know, to go with everybody else, should be noted that it is one game. We're always on Levante David watch. That might sound crazy because, you know, he's been really good for a long, long time, really had one down year. But that one down year, which we found out later on he was hurt, you and I were beginning to speculate, like, he's a linebacker. It can happen. I mean, it's the most physical position on the field. It can be tough. But then he obviously redeemed himself last year, and he was tremendous.
Oh,
well, he was incredible in this game again, and so was Devin White. So we're good at linebacker. Yep. We're really good at linebacker.
Yeah, Devin White a couple of times got caught up in the wash, taking a false step towards the line of scrimmage, but that's going to happen when you play downhill. It's going to happen sometimes.
Yeah. I thought overall he played well.
He played in control,
yeah,
and he played free.
He also played smart. He's quick, man. Look at his closing speed at that size. Yep. It's just dumb.
Yep.
I mean, there were a couple plays. Those little quick in the quick game, the second he realizes what's happening,
yeah,
you're like, okay, well, let's see. You got to stay in control because you're going to get. Oh, it's over. Well, okay.
You're going to want David to clean up some stuff, and you want White to play free and get downhill. Mm-hmm. And if he's going to make a mistake, do so at 100 miles an hour, because he'll make some mistakes this year with that closing speed, and you won't know it because it'll be a sack. But he'll get the wrong read or something. He's just that gifted, that talented, and that fast
played
to make plays in the backfield. 68
of the 70s. I mean, he was out there.
Participation for him is a big – for a lot of our guys. Why is it? You know, like Vita Vea, you're looking at participation at Devin.
Yeah.
Some of the guys in the secondary, because we know that that was a bit of a revolving door last year. But they – yes, if you've got hope, it's not with even Brady. It's not with his championship pedigree. After that game, if we can stop the downfield pass – we're going to be able to stop whatever any team brings to us in terms of their alpha plan. We'll be able to stop what they do best.
I think what we're getting at here is, for all the frustration, and interestingly enough, for the offseason chatter, all of the frustration really resided solely with the offensive side of the football. That's all this game was us getting angry at Evans, at Brady, at Donovan Smith, the lack of a run game. Ronald Jones ran hard. There really wasn't anything there. Personnel groupings at times, you know, I'm going to question, and I'll ask Lee this. I don't, you know, LeSean McCoy's out there clearly to pass protect. He didn't have a carry, but he's out there for 25 plays. That's too many plays. I don't need to see LeSean McCoy. I mean, he's done. His career is over. He's there to block. Maybe that's it. So when he's out there that much, it means you got one dimensional, and that's a problem.
We got one dimensional a lot on offense. And if you think about it, just defensively, one more thing. The one touchdown drive that New Orleans covered any ground at all, like legitimate ground, because field position-wise, New Orleans owned the day.
Yeah.
And we've been so god-awful special teams forever. If that's a sign of coaching, then we suck. Like, plainly, we suck, because special teams is even worse. What was that performance?
I know.
But the one legitimate drive that New Orleans had was a bunch of gadget plays. Taysom Hill's in there. You got direct snaps. Yeah. You got misdirection. Yeah. Sean Payton had to break out all of the tricks to be able to move the ball down the field. Mm-hmm. The other touchdown drives are short fields off of the Mike Edwards play, off of a pick six directly, 6 points on the board, and then the short field with the miscommunication between Brady and Evans. So, yeah. If this offense can put us in a position where even if the drive ends, you pin somebody back inside their own 25-yard line.
Yeah, you're not driving the field on us unless it's a broken play or it's, you know, like you said, a trick play.
We're looking at short fields of our own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I'm with you. I didn't get angry. I mean, I don't like losing. Nobody does. I watched the game. You know, my wife asked me, are you mad? Did you think Brady would win? I said, it's not about Brady. I mean, I know it is and it isn't. The whole world is going to talk about Brady, but I want to see what's my team. Well, my team's really good on defense. The Saints are predicted as in the eyes of many, as a Super Bowl contender. I don't think they are with that dink and dunk offense, but they're good enough to win the division. I'll give you that. And they're really good on defense. So you're on the road in this game, Brady's first game. Evans is a matchup nightmare because he can't get open against Lattimore. It doesn't matter if he's healthy or not. He never gets open. So you have that situation. I can live with that. I can live with that. What I got out of the defense left me thinking, this is a really good football team, and they'll get it together offensively. I'm sure Brady will figure out some things offensively, and he's going to have to, because we can't rely on our head coach to do it. So that's where we're going to be at.
Or the offensive coordinator, right? So you got to figure out what your identity is, and while they're fact-finding, if the defense can hold it down, then you're in a position to where by, you know, mid-October,
you're a good football
offense
team,
might be right, because you could see, I mean, the first 15 plays, a lot of NFL teams can script it up fine, and we did. That was a gorgeous opening drive.
Incredible, yeah.
But then look at the response late in the game. It's the touchdown drive that ends with O.J. Howard in the back corner of the end zone and wide open. When they get in rhythm, it's scary. But you got to find a way to get to rhythm in the first place. And hopefully, you know, it's just an aberration because you've got two things going on. It's week one, and then that Saints defense is legit. It really is. That's going to be the thing that carries the Saints to a division title if they go that far.
Well, it's also why you can continue to get excited about Wirfs. If you think about the draft picks, think about what we just got done talking about. We're talking about Wirfs as exciting as Winfield. Think, hey, good job, Jason Light. Look at you. Okay, I can get excited about this.
They are all physical. I mean, that defense is nasty, and Vegas was impressed by what they saw to the degree that at least the midweek line says the Bucs are a two-score favorite.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
That is something. I mean, Carolina's offense looked okay.
Their defense is terrible, though. Their defense is awful, and I think Vegas is probably looking at our offense. Now, that's going to change again. I don't know what time you guys are listening to this at home or in your car or wherever you're listening, but if Godwin is ruled out, that line's going to change, obviously, because you have perhaps a dinged Evans. And then no Godwin, that changes everything about what the Bucs are.
Okay, so if you had to rank concern level on offense, like guys that you're watching going, what are you? What exactly are you? And I gave you three names: Donovan Smith, Brady, and Gronkowski. What three guys are you looking at in order? Most concerned to least concerned?
Well, oddly, Gronkowski.
Is most?
He looked useless. And I know that he can block in the run game, and we're trying to establish the run, and that's why he played the amount of plays that he did, over 50. He was largely the tight end that we were using, and he was gonna block. And he can really do that. He's a big, strong dude. So I shouldn't say he's useless, but he looked useless in the passing game. Just lead-footed, slower than we have ever seen him. Now, again, he took a lot of time off, and it's his first game in this offense. I'd like to believe he's going to look better, but he looked very mechanical. He looked like a guy that's been injured a lot. That's what he looked like.
And been away from the game.
Yeah, and so I need to see him look more fluid in the passing game, because I really would like to get something from him. Now, I wouldn't say that's of chief concern to an overall offense. You're just asking me individuals, because we have tight ends that can go down the field.
Absolutely.
We saw it. Howard can do that. He's decided he wants to play football. That's good. So that's important. But obviously Smith's not good. He's not suddenly going to get good, but he can play better than that. Brady's the last of my concerns. I'm not worried about Tom Brady. I think he'll be fine. He's not going to be the Tom Brady that goes down in history as the greatest quarterback to ever play, because that guy left the building about 3-4 years ago. But he can be good. He just needs to be a top 10 quarterback. I think he can be a top 10 quarterback that doesn't turn the football over. That's why you're here. Make good decisions. Be smart and accurate. He's very accurate. Okay, be those things. With this defense,
yeah,
we can be fine.
So it's funny how the media runs to things much more quickly and narratives about Bruce Arians when it happens to Brady. And I'm not going to bring up the other name. I'm going to try and move on and not bring up our former quarterback. But you saw the graphics this week about how first-year quarterbacks in Bruce Arians systems are going to throw a lot of picks.
Mm-hmm.
And how it happened to Palmer, it happened to Jameis, it happened to Luck, it happened to Ben, it happened to Peyton Manning. Right, just across the board, first year in the system, you're going to throw a lot more picks. I'm moderately concerned. It's not about Brady's acumen. It's not about his arm strength, because he flashed the arm strength a couple times.
Yeah, it was fine.
Outside of the pick six. I'm just worried that maybe he's not impervious. If we're trying to run the Bruce Arians offense, maybe Brady is not impervious to making the kinds of reads that turn the ball over.
Okay, that's a great point. But and then we'll go to break here. Let me just say this. What he is impervious to is BS. So what he will do, because he has the clout to say no. So more than anybody in the league. So what he won't do is look like an ass. He's not going to allow it. Pride, acumen, intelligence, clout. He will walk over to Bruce if this happens again and he doesn't feel like the game's being called to his strengths, and say, well, we're not doing that. I'm not going to run that anymore. We're going to do this part of your offense. That's how that conversation will go. I don't think Jameis could do that. Didn't have the clout, and he never did do it. Tom Brady ain't going to sit there and be made a fool of. So that's what he does have, is the ability to go, no, not doing it. Sorry.
The other thing I'm looking forward to this weekend, even if Godwin is not in the game, this is where the Saints can be really tough, and it's amazing how they've gone from they need to score 40 and they probably will to, well, if they score 25
they
should be in good shape. They didn't separate very much, and that happens to this group from time to time. But I would think against most other defenses, see the Panthers defense this year.
If you can't separate from the Panthers, we got problems.
Yes, you should see some downfield separation with greater consistency. And if that happens, easy reads for 12 and he makes the plays.
Before we break, I should remind you, get leftover 2020 models up to 50% off original MSRP right now at Bill Curry Ford. It's the September sales sell down. Bill Curry Ford must move their 2020s to make room for the 2021s. Yeah, it's that simple. Bill Curry, General Manager Sean Sullivan, is a lifelong Buccaneer fan, and he wants to help you personally in every way that he can, whether that's by phone, email, text, or in the modern Bill Curry Ford showroom. 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium, of course, on Dale Mabry Highway. Bill Curry Ford also is home to the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. Get started today, BillCurryFord.com.
Shopping for a used F-150, a car, or an SUV? Find Tampa's biggest and best used inventory at Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Shop now at BillCurryFord.com and see the nationwide lifetime warranty on pre-owned vehicles. Now, here's Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang.
Mm-hmm.
The music tells you the man's coming on. Lita Kemper. JoeBucksFan.com, the website. Bucks lose game one. All of the Saints suffer perhaps a critical injury at receiver for now and have to get back on the horse. Hello, Lee. How are you?
Hey, Jeff. What do you say, man?
Well, I know your voice is hurting right now. I don't know if that was from screaming after the pick six. I don't know if that was frustration, but I won't make you use too much of it. I will ask you this immediately. Mm-hmm. Chris Godwin, what do we got here?
Well, he's under the concussion protocol, as you know.
Yeah.
That means minimum 5 days he's on the shelf, and 5 days would be Sunday. So now Dr. David Chow, he used to be a team doctor for the Chargers. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's on NFL radio, Sirius NFL radio, quite often Sirius XM NFL radio, to be precise. He just tweeted me just a couple minutes ago, right before you called. He doesn't think Godwin's going to play, but let's be honest, he's guessing. He doesn't have access to Godwin's medical records. He doesn't have access to one buck place. He's never interviewed Godwin, to the best of my knowledge. So that's an educated guess in my eye. That doesn't mean it's not noteworthy, because he's an expert. I'm not. But that's just a guess, educated guess. So, I heard someone say it's 50-50. That was a former NFL front office guy. Again, an educated guess. Let's cross our fingers. But you know what? The Panthers, their defense, even though I really, really like a lot of the young players, including the gentleman from Tallahassee, they're not the greatest defense yet. We shall see. They're not the Saints defense. Let's put that way. So it's bad that Godwin may not play, but it's not like the Bucs don't have any receivers.
Yeah, no, he's their, I think he's become their best receiver. So not having your best receiver is hurtful, especially since he played in almost the vast majority, he did play in the vast majority of the snaps last week. We all know how important he is, but you're right. It's not as if they don't have weapons, and that includes an emerging Scotty Miller. I guess it didn't take Tom long to find guys that resemble those that he used to throw to in New England.
Gee, I wonder why,
Miller's a burner, unlike some of those guys who were quick, and he can go over the top. So this may be a rising viable option as we move forward. And I guess I would ask you, big picture here, what stood out to you? What was the most encouraging aspect of this past game, and what has you concerned?
The encouraging was the defense.
Sure.
Now, I'm not saying they played great, but they played pretty good. They played good enough to win. And if you think about it, the two main boo-boos of the Bucks, it's so bad I can't even come up with the right description. But the kickoff return at Mike Edwards botched, and the pick six, 10 points. What did they lose by? 11. So the defense played pretty strong. They really did. They took out Kamara for the most part. The run defense, it appears, week one, is carried over from last year. That was very encouraging, the defense. They didn't play great. When the Bucs needed them to be dominant, they were not dominant. They were good, but they needed them to be dominant. So that defense, that was encouraging. Discouraging, the typical inability to run the ball. Brady looking shot. He looked shaky. Let's be honest, he looked shaky. And I'll mention the first drive. When I say people, I'm talking the general idea, the general guesstimate was the NFL was going to be horrible week one because of lack of preseason games and an abbreviated offseason. That really wasn't the case. I can come up with all kinds of examples. Now, the people saying, oh, you got to give Brady time. He's the first time he's with these guys. I think that's a bunch of baloney. Joe Burrow didn't have any problems, and Brady was working out with his new receivers at Berkeley Prep High School while Joe Burrow was still doing Zoom interviews with potential suitors in the draft. That's number one. Number two, Kyler Murray, he never played with DeAndre Hopkins before. How'd that work out? What, 14 catches Hopkins had? They never played together before. And Teddy Bridgewater at Carolina. He wasn't horrible. He didn't play with the Panthers last year. So I'm not buying this Brady. You know, we're talking about a 20-year vet. Oh, he hasn't played with the Bucs yet. You got to give him time. I'm not saying that wasn't a factor, but I'm saying that was way overblown. So we got that out of there. But the discouraging part was the lack of a running game. And I guess even more discouraging was right off the bat, week one, Donovan Smith looked like he shouldn't have been out there. And I've defended Donovan Smith. I'm not saying he's great. I'm not saying he's top three. I'm not saying he's pro bowler. But I thought he was okay. He's inconsistent. And when he's inconsistent, he makes some glaring gaps. But the guy always answers the bell. So I've always given him the benefit of the doubt as far as defending him. You couldn't defend him last week, the first game. You could not defend that. That was awful. That needs to be that needs to be cleaned up, Jeff. There's no doubt about it. That needs to be cleaned up. You don't have Jameis back there who's able to dodge bullets. You got a 43-year-old man back there.
I will say, however, the opposite tackle on that same offensive line, a rookie making his first start, going up against one of the great pass rushers, one of the dominant figures in this league in Cam Jordan, was really good. He was better than I thought he'd be. The numbers, really, when I went and looked at Cam Jordan's numbers, I realized that guy had one quarterback pressure in the game, no sacks, and four tackles total. He really was rendered kind of neutralized, I guess you'd say, by Wirfs. That was incredible to see in a rookie start.
That was very, very encouraging. And Arians was on SiriusXM NFL Radio last night, and he was asked about Wirfs, and he said Wirfs had seven bad plays. Seven out of how many snaps? I didn't see the snaps.
70 snaps.
He was out there all the time as the offense. So
yeah,
that
70
was
snaps.
Very, if you had seven bad plays in your very first NFL game with, again, an abbreviated offseason, that's pretty darn good. Arians had a great line about the abbreviated offseason. He said the first time he met the rookies is when they showed up for training camp. That's the first time he met them.
Wow. Yeah, I would note this, and I think just for our listeners, this is encouraging because, okay, if Arians is going to grade him out as having seven bad snaps at a set, he played 70 plays. That was the total number of plays the Bucs ran. Six of those are in the run game. One was a quarterback pressure. Everything else he would have been mad about would have been in the run game. Wirfs was exceptional. I'd go as far as to say he was exceptional in a rookie start, given the circumstances.
Well, that was one play. We have a photo of it. We had a photographer in Nolan. And there was one play. We got a photo of it. He took on two linebackers and built a path for Ronald Jones.
I locked in on him because I obviously desperately would like to see good offensive line play in Tampa so that we can have the aforementioned run game develop at some point. And I already know what Donovan Smith is. He's an average tackle. So I kind of was like, all right, doesn't shock me. He's sucking today. But I was really, really encouraged to watch Wirfs. And I think the only other thing I'll ask you, again, trying to save your voice, and Tom and I will carry it the rest of the way, is were you shocked by how much LeSean McCoy played? What the hell is that about?
A little bit shocked. I'm assuming that they brought in McCoy because, hey, they brought him in for a reason. They didn't just sign him to be a tackling dummy. And apparently maybe he showed enough in practice running the game plan that they had for Norman's. They thought he would have success. Now, I'm sure they didn't expect Donovan Smith to have a lousy game. I don't think Jensen had a particularly great game. Kappa depends who you talk to. Either they thought he was okay or he's not okay. And that's a foot decision, sort of. So, you know, you can have Eric Dickerson back there, and it was a jailbreak, which I don't think it was a jailbreak, but it wasn't good. And I don't think McCoy, it's fair to say, Shady is not the Shady McCoy he was 10 years ago. Who would be? So I think it was a variety of factors. It's pretty clear to me after a couple of years, and I don't think this is actually horrible, that the Bucs' offensive line is built to pass block. You know, a lot of people like to scream about the offensive line. And as my business partner, Steve Isbitz, the Joe Bucs fan, likes to point out, the Bucs were third in the NFL in offense last year. Was it third in passing or third? No, third in offense, overall offense.
Yeah.
How bad can your offensive line be if you're third in the league in offense? That doesn't add up that you have a lousy offensive line yet you had so many yards. That's a fair point. I believe that's a fair point, but I believe their forte is pass blocking, if you want to call it a forte. That would be pass blocking, not so much run blocking. And that's probably one major reason why the offense or the running back haven't been able to get, you know, get on board, so to speak, and get rolling. And by the way, well, we're talking about running backs. I'm not anti-Ronald Jones. Maybe I'm overreacting on the first week. It very well could be. But how many running backs do you know that are into their third year and you're still waiting for that breakout game? You know, we always hear, oh, Ronald Jones, he works hard. He does this, he does that. It's just a matter of time. It's year three. Most running backs right away, snap your fingers, are rolling in the first game of their rookie season. We're now into year three, and we're still waiting for Ronald Jones to have that breakout game. I'm about done with it, me personally, Jeff. Maybe I'm overreacting, but it's like, come on.
Well, I don't think he's a star. And to your point, the Bucs don't have a star running back. He's never going to be that, and we would have seen it by now. You're correct about that. But I don't think he played poorly in this game. I thought he was okay. I don't think he was a problem.
He wasn't awful, but he didn't distinguish himself. Let's put it that way.
Right. I think, again, though, that is a Saints defense that a lot of people are going to have a tough time against. It'll be interesting. Look, he's a serviceable back, to your point. I just was kind of surprised. The reason I brought up LeSean McCoy, and I'll leave it alone, he played in 25 snaps. That's 36% of the offensive plays. I didn't think LeSean McCoy was brought here to do that, and if he is, we're in trouble. My hunch is that it's because he's a pass protector. Fournette can't do that. Fournette can't do that. Jones is average at it. So that's what it's about. But again, it makes you one-dimensional because immediately everybody knows why you're in the game. It's an aspect that they're going to have to get better at. We don't need to talk about the defense. I thought they were fantastic. Anytime you hold New Orleans to 2.4 yards per carry, obviously well under 100 yards rushing, you've done exceptionally well, and they're picking up where they left off. I don't think that Sue and Vita Vea played all that well, but they did what they needed to do. They stymied the run game. They didn't create any pressure, but they stymied the run game. That's fine. It will be interesting. We may be having a very different conversation if the Bucs don't get back in a winning direction in this game against Carolina. So we'll save the juicy stuff for next week, Lee. Save your voice while we're at it, and I'll talk to you later, buddy. Be well.
Hey, thanks a lot, Jeff, as always. I appreciate it. Thanks.
All right, take care. Yeah, I really think, Tom, and we talked about it some already, McCoy being out there that much, I thought, well, you're giving it away. Now, you're trailing in this game, right after, basically, from the second quarter on, you're trailing in this football game. So you could argue they had to pass it. The world knew they were going to throw the football. They don't have another back that really protects. Smith's having a hard time on the edge. They want Shady in there to help block. Okay. He's really at the very, very end of his career and does not need to be out there for that many snaps.
No, if you're going to have a flare-out back, I'd rather have Dari. Honestly, he was better at that than this version of McCoy. And I couldn't disagree more. Ronald Jones played fine, I thought. I thought he ran harder than Leonard Fournette did in this game. We had to abandon it for a number of reasons. Number one, that front seven from New Orleans is really good.
Yep.
Number two, you get behind. And before you know it, you're down multiple scores in this game. And honestly, the one time they turned to the run and they committed to the run was asinine. You're driving down the field with a chance to bring it within, I think it was 7 points. And we end up kicking a field goal on that drive. You call back-to-back running plays. One doesn't work with Fournette. The second one doesn't work. And it's your third and long. After a couple runs, and you've been moving the ball down the field, and Fournette's on the field. So you're telegraphing what you're going to be doing. They are looking for an identity in the running game. They're already. This is what pisses me off. And this is where I think that we're just a disorganized mess as an organization, and we're playing fantasy football a little bit. The Fournette thing could pay off down the line.
Yes.
But we're force-feeding him in a situation where I'd rather go with guys that have been working together for a month in that moment. And Fournette's on the field, and you're playing a bunch of guys near the line of scrimmage formation.
You're telling everybody what's coming, yeah.
Leonard is not there to pass pro, to your point from earlier.
He can't do it, yeah.
So why are we trying to forge a brand new identity in week one against the Saints? Let's work it into the game plan down the line, not use it the most critical moment. It's all kinds of messed up when it comes to in-game management. And I don't know if that's a Bruce Arians personnel decision, if that's a Byron Leftwich decision, but this is going to be a broken record. Because if there are uncharacteristic drives out of nowhere, we got to know who the hell is installing the game plan and who's calling the plays. Is it Bruce or is it Byron?
Yeah, I think it's a little of both, and that would speak to the disjointed nature of what we do. I also would say that Fournette only played 9 snaps in the game, and he can catch the ball. He had the 14-yard catch. They can utilize him in that way. I would work him in because I think eventually, pretty quickly, he's more dynamic than Ronald Jones. You're right. Ronald Jones did not play poorly in this game. They had to abandon the run. I thought he ran hard when he got the ball. There wasn't a lot of running room. So all you can do is ask a guy to run hard. But he's not dynamic, to Lee's point. So you're both right here. It wasn't his fault. But Ronald's not dynamic. He's an average running back. We're stuck with an average running back all the time. It seems every freaking year this is our lot in life. I think Fournette, if you get him going, is a more dynamic runner and a more impactful runner. So if we could get him into games at all in times that we have to throw so that we're not dead giving away what we're doing, and that would be imploring him to get better or want to block. Maybe he will.
But that's a combination of personnel and formation.
Yes.
Right, in blending in with the game situation. And to me, I'm a little bit more hopeful on Ronald because he got tougher as last year went along.
I agree with that.
Remember, in the beginning of his career, he was tough as tissue paper. And you're saying, what the hell did we waste this pick for? But he got a lot tougher. He finished runs. And against that front seven, you better, or else you're going to be thrown into the backfield.
Yeah. Like, I agree with that.
You're going against Florida State's D-line in the 90s or something.
We didn't, and we'll take a break here, but I didn't bring it up with him because a guy that he does like – was completely shut down, as I predicted he would be yet again, as he always is, by Lattimore, and that's Mike Evans. And, we know Joe loves him some Mike Evans. Well, unless you're playing the Saints, I'll tell you that. I mean, he's useless. You might as well start somebody else out there because his ass ain't going to get open. By the way, should note, show, of course, is brought to you by our friends at Bill Curry Ford. Bill Curry Ford, General Manager Sean Sullivan. He's not messing around when it comes to his love for the Bucks. He will help you personally by phone, email, or inside their beautiful Bill Curry Ford showroom, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Sean Sullivan will give you a Scuttlebucks/Joe Bucks fan discount. He'll truly do everything in his power to help you at Bill Curry Ford. Everything, he says. That's the family service you can expect from Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford for the past 60 years. Get shopping today, BillCurryFord.com. That's BillCurryFord.com.
Shopping for a used F-150, a car, or an SUV? Find Tampa's biggest and best used inventory at Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Shop now at BillCurryFord.com and see the nationwide lifetime warranty on pre-owned vehicles. Now, here's Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang.
Bucks taking on Teddy Bridgewater and the boys of the Carolina Panthers. We can collectively, as Buccaneer fans, and individually, me and Tom here in the studio in Tallahassee, Florida, breathe a grand sigh of relief that as we take on the Carolina Panthers, there's one central figure missing from their lineup that was the bane of our existence in Tampa. Just more than enough what for to go around every time we played against Luke Kuechly, who I thought for a long time was arguably the best linebacker in football, and he proved it every time we played in this game because every time you looked up, could be 50 yards downfield, you'd see a ball get batted away. You'd be like, who's that on the coverage? That was a wonderful play fake. Why is Luke Kuechly running stride for stride with Mike Evans? This doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Size of LT, the sideline to sideline of DB, and he covers like Troy Polamalu.
It drove
crazy.
Me nuts, and he was physical to boot.
Yeah.
So it was all there, the total package. I worry about his long-term health, but I don't worry about having to see him now because, damn it, man, that guy owned us, and he won't be here when we take on Carolina. And that makes me happy.
Last year, week two, Carolina, and that was the game in which Vernon Hargraves made the stop on fourth down. We got the spot. You got the left foot or the right foot. We got the correct foot. That was McCaffrey against Hargraves in space. What I look forward to this week is McCaffrey against a healthy Devin White in space. Because remember, White suffered the injury in the first half of this meeting in Carolina last season.
Well, also remember we shut him down in this game and we're able to make that play late. But as you described it, I thought all in all, we did a great job against him, and that was really a harbinger of things to come for the Bucs defense against quality running backs. They pretty well dominated most of them.
We've checked all of the boxes so far as a defense. Honestly, if you look at that performance against the Saints, we did everything that we hoped to do. It's just that defended short fields, and then 6 points were on the board via Brady. Downfield shots, that's the one left. If we can cover those well, I mean, every team's going to get over on you for one or two splash plays because they're going to check on film and they're going to scheme something up.
Sure.
But if it's something that, you know, Carolina can rely upon to get the ball down the field for splash plays, that would be a red flag. But we haven't seen a red flag yet. And I'd like to think with this pass rush and not having Drew Brees' pocket presence and the Saints' offensive line that we might be able to live a little bit more in the backfield with our front four this week too.
That would be nice. That they didn't make splash plays. They made the plays to neutralize the run game. That's fine. But, you know, you got to get more out of Sue. You got to get more, I think, out of Vita.
Right.
Brees
gets rid of the ball in a second
so
and
quick,
a half.
Yeah, that's
true. What they do.
DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel, Christian McCaffrey, Robbie Anderson. I mean, we know the group that we're going to see against Carolina. I like the matchup for us. So does Vegas. We're favored by 9 points. Now we'll see. Godwin's health will probably move that line a little bit.
And to your point about Wirfs, right, and the game that he played, the game that Donovan did not, we're about to see over the next few weeks what the NFL coaches who are scouting the Buccaneers say about Wirfs versus Smith, because the best pass rusher will line up across one of those two, and they're going to pick the one that's more favorable to themselves. You don't always have to line up at left defensive end or right defensive end. So where does Brian Burns line up this week? My guess would be against the slow-footed Donovan Smith, but we shall see.
It would be the smart move, but I'm really hoping that doesn't happen. I want to see him against Wirfs. Burns is slight. Wirfs is strong. If he's not getting out-quicked,
right,
he's going to dominate Brian Burns.
Which they might test him and might say, okay, Cam Jordan is more of a power rusher. He can still
big,
do it all,
man,
but he's big and strong, and that's how he gets to where he wants to go. All right, young man, can you keep up with
can
the speed,
with speed
of a quick twitch guy like Brian Burns? So, you know, it could be an opportunity for us as fans to see if Wirfs checks that box too, then you've got really somebody that you can count on for a little while.
So as we wrap it up, we've had, you know, weighty conversation about game one, and I don't want to overreact. We've talked about the things that concern us, the things that we really like. We brought in Lee DeKemper, JoeBucksFan.com, the website, of course. Do you like us to get a win?
I think so.
I do, too.
I think so. I am leery of some sloppiness in the offense because we're trying to sort some stuff out. I don't think it's because we didn't play preseason games. I think they've got a bit of an identity crisis. In the beginning, I thought it might be just the sloppiness of not working together at game speed when I watched the game live on Sunday. But the more I thought about it this week and the more I went back and looked at some of those extended replays that the NFL provides, we're just trying to sort out who the hell we are. I mean, think about it. You're going back to square one at running back.
Yeah.
We talked about that a bunch today for a reason. Who the hell is our RB1? It might be Ronald Jones in the moment, but is that who we want it to be? And that's a fundamental question that needs to be answered.
I think at some point it's not going to be Ronald Jones. I think he's going to share carries with Fournette. I just don't want to see LeSean McCoy on the field for 25 snaps in a game. That just needs to stop, man. I think I've made that pretty clear.
I think we have the circular argument here because, like, you know, Lee hates Ronald Jones.
Yeah.
You hate LeSean McCoy.
I do.
I like Fournette, but I think Ronald Jones is running harder than Fournette right now, so I'd rather see Ronald in there. So it's just this triangular argument of back and forth, and I'd like to see some clarity. I think all of three of us would agree on that.
Yeah, but what we also know is that no matter who you think is winning this argument, your grand reward is that you're average as hell in the backfield. That's what you are.
Well, considering that we can't run block as plan A.
Right.
And my hope is that they see in the next couple of weeks that the best way to run the ball is to put all those weapons on the field at the perimeter and allow for yourself to have 6 or 7 in the box, advantageous position to block it up.
I took the Saints last week. I'm going to take the Bucs this week. Let's keep it at 100%. If 100% Jeff is here next week, then we're all in a good mood.
Okay, for the purposes of 100%, then I will pick the Panthers, and I am happy to be the guy that people say, don't pick us.
Don't pick us. Yeah,
so
let's go
with the Panthers this
week. The Panthers this week. All right. Oh, by the way, if you were lucky, and if you didn't think about it, maybe you should if your league still allows it. Go grab Scotty Miller, everybody. It didn't take long for Tom to fall in love with guys that looked like guys he threw to, like I said before, in New England. So I went and got him. I had him. I mean, he's on my bench, but I got him. And you watch, he's gonna get like 10 passes a game.
I've got OJ too, man. Yeah. OJ looks like he might be something this year.
Yeah, I think so. We'll talk to you next time. Thanks for listening, everybody. Go Bucks.